if we pursue fully our own imperfection, then it will reveal itself as having a certain kind of purpose. You know, we can, if we don't know which way to go, then that's our reality. That's truth. Mm-hmm. Our brain doesn't have a clear understanding of which way to go, but we still are here. We still have to act. So if we remain present and committed to whatever direction we're going in, then we'll get the feedback. It will reveal to us. If it was the wrong choice, then okay, but it's still actually the right choice in a certain way, right? It's the wrong choice in the sense that we see that we need to turn the other way, right? So on that level, it's the wrong choice. But in the larger level, it's the right choice because we had no choice. We didn't know. We didn't have any clearer vision. That was that we were doing the best we could. We were asking ourselves, what's the right thing? We were trying to submit ourselves to something higher. We weren't just, you know, arrogantly doing our own thing. As far as, you know, we're doing the best we can. Right? So if you're doing the best you can and you screw up, that's all part of it. That's part of how consciousness is unfolding, and we have to open ourselves to that. So to my seeing, that's actually the level of the chariot. The level of the chariot is to see that there is nothing that's not God's will. We do our will, we do God's will, but it's all actually God's will if we are opening ourselves to the spiritual process that wants to happen through whatever it is that's happening. So that ultimately becomes the main question. You know, in a way, there's three different questions for the three different levels. The first question is, what do I want to do? Because sometimes people don't even know that, right? Especially if you're very, very embedded in a certain routine. You may lose touch with yourself, your ego self, but your ego self is still part of yourself. It's still important. It's still a reality, right? So it's good to be in touch with your natural self. What do I feel like? Do I feel hungry? Do I feel like I need to go to sleep? Do I feel, what do I need? It's good to be in touch with that. So that's like the first, that's the level of the animal. The second question is, what does God want me to do? Sometimes it's the same thing. You know? Like when Avraham saw that God was going to go destroy Sodom. Remember that story in the Torah? You know, God's going to destroy Sodom because they're immoral. And Avraham starts arguing with God and says, well, but what if you find 50 righteous people? Are you going to destroy the righteous with the innocent? That's not fair. You know, so Avraham starts talking God down. Right? And the commentaries say that, well, Avraham was actually doing God's will by going against God's will. Right? So, and it's just seen as a test, you know. So you see this, there's a sense of non-duality in the dualistic story. The other example of that is, there's many, but there's another example of that is Moses, right? When he says, God says, I'm going to destroy these people worshiping this calf. And I'll start over with you. And Moses says, if you're going to do that, then destroy me too. I don't want to be part of it. And so then Moses invokes God's compassion. So Moses does God's will by going against God's will. It's what Moses wants to do. But it's actually the underlying, it's God's will operating through Moses. So sometimes what we want to do is identical with the message we get if we ask, what does God want me to do? We don't necessarily feel like a contradiction between the two, right? But sometimes we do, and that can be very informative, you know, when we feel like, oh, this pattern, this thing that I'm attracted to, or this whatever, this compulsion that I have is obviously not the highest thing, and actually there's something higher. Maybe I know what it is, maybe I don't yet, but you can sense that duality between the higher and lower self. So that's the second question. The third question The question of the chariot is, can't you see that it's all God's will? That actually, no matter what happens, right? Because if you're really going to see the truth and be with the truth as it is in this moment, which is the only truth that we can connect with, is the truth of right now. Not the truth of any truth that we think in our minds is a relative truth. It's an image of the truth. Useful, but it's not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is always just this. So if we're going to really connect with the ultimate truth, and we're going to accept everything as it is, then we can't somehow, you know, put the reality of ourselves in our pocket and hide that while we accept everything else as it is. Right? We're not separate from that whole reality that is ultimate truth. So we have to accept it all. We have to accept that our folly is actually perfection. And our seeing our folly and wanting to improve, wanting to return, is also part of that perfection, right? The whole reality, the whole process, nothing's separated out. Nothing's in exile. That's the level of the chariot, is to not exile anything. To accept it all. To not use the word yeah, but. Two words, yeah, but. There's no yeah, but. It's all just what it is.
So does that include, you know, like atrocity or murder?
It includes...
One person murders another person.
It includes whatever's actually real. So when we say, when we bring up examples like that, the problem is that that's actually a mental idea that we're bringing up, right? Not to say that's not true. Yes, there's atrocity and murder out there, of course. But if you bring in the mental idea of atrocity and murder that has happened, that probably is happening somewhere right now, then you are... what you're working with is your thought about it. That's what you're working with. So yes, that, but you can only work with it on the level of thought. You can say, okay, my